I'm going to move us into this next part. I have the privilege of introducing David Bradshaw, a dear friend of mine and many in this city. And David leads a ministry, a vision, and a company of people called Awaken the Dawn. And we've had the privilege of serving alongside him within his vision. The first time I think I heard of you guys, maybe I knew you before, but I'm trying to remember, but he had this audacious vision to go to the Washington, D.C. Mall with set up 50-something tents for all the states and intercede for 50 hours. And it was crazy. It seemed impossible. And yet it really happened. And God provided and God guided. And it was a remarkable time. And so David, since then, has had different visions and maneuvers spinning off of that. Tent America and a vision. I'll let you share the details of what you're doing now, but he's coming and the team is coming to Nashville real soon, so he's going to talk about that. But David, we love you, we honor you. You're really a friend to us and to this city. And he even came in, it really touched a lot of us when we were putting on one of those family reunions last year, and he heard about it and he goes, "Can I come?" You know, he's like, "What? You want to come from another city, from Virginia, Fredericksburg, Virginia?" And he's like, "Yeah, come on, man." So you're part of the family, and we're excited to team up together. Come on and share. Right, let's welcome him.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I feel the same way. I feel like even this morning, it's a family reunion. Peggy, I mean, what he described on the National Mall, I remember the way you carried that. Just the things that you've birthed in intercession. I mean, heaven only knows. And I did feel just prophetically for you, what I saw was the multiplication of, dreams and visions. I feel like there's a prophetic dimension that you already have, but I feel there's an exponential increase in the next season, because I believe there's a storyline unfolding for you that, yes, starts in North Carolina, but I believe it's national. And even global. And I just see there's this book by Derek Prince's wife called Lydia Prince on Appointment in Jerusalem. The adventure that she had in that season of her life. I feel like the Lord says, like he anointed her to touch Israel, he's going to anoint you to touch Israel. And I don't know what that means, but I feel like I just saw like the Star of David on you. I felt like the Lord said, he's going to give you his heart for his people, and he's going to unfold a storyline there. And it's in America, but it's also in the Middle East. So, amen. Okay, how many of you guys love Jesus? He's the best. Lord, we worship you. God, we're here for you. We set our eyes. I thank you for the storyline that you're unfolding in Nashville right now. I thank you that things are coming that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. And I know, God, you're looking for a yes. He's not looking for the brightest and the smartest and the most gifted. He's looking for those that have a hundredfold yes. Any of those people here today? Think we're here. Well, Scott said we're going to be here. I guess it's next week. Goodness, next week, October 14th and 15th, we're going to be at the Foundry, and we're going to be doing 12 hours of worship and prayer with the region coming together on Saturday the 15th, and then Friday night we just have a regional rally. Todd White will be there with us, our crew from Virginia, many others coming together, and we want to come together in the spirit of John 17:21. That's really the agenda, actually. It's not a conference. We just want to serve in a little way what God's already doing in Nashville, which is bringing us together of one heart around the person and presence of Jesus. And then we're really excited to partner with Fireplace. Todd White's going to take the whole crew, go with the whole crew out into in a Broadway invasion on Friday night. So come to the Foundry at 7 on Friday the 14th. We'll be there all together. And then Friday night, about 9:30-ish, we'll hit Broadway for the Broadway Invasion, then 12 hours of worship with teams from all over the region, also at the Foundry on Saturday. So we just want to sow and serve and get under what God's doing in this region. And just with the dear friendships and relationships here, it's our joy. And we really do feel that this is family. I mean, that's not hyperbole for us. Our hearts are joined to what the Holy Spirit's doing in this region and in the nation. So I want to share just a couple of things. The first one is actually a prophetic thing. There's a few of these things I didn't plan on sharing till I got here this morning. But I really sensed the Lord. And I wanted to say, I don't believe it is a coincidence that Women on the Front Lines is coming. And even what we just did with Peggy and Marion. I believe there's a women's movement coming to this region. And I want to just, you know, this morning I was over at the Kings Hill House of Prayer crew for the Eternal Heiress gathering with 50 or so women. And I just was so stirred this morning. And then when I came in here and saw what's happening, I actually believe the Spirit is saying something. You know, when we went to the National Mall in 2017, I'll never forget the first meeting where we shared that story with Papa Lou Engel and about 50 leaders. This was before it was even a thing. It was just Bob Jones had given us a series of words. We had this little narrative we were carrying. And we gathered about 50 leaders, and I was so excited. It's the first time we were going to share it. And this lady has a dream the night before, and she goes, I saw that meeting in a dream. And in the middle of the meeting, a woman stands up and starts to prophesy, and it hijacked the whole meeting, and the Holy Spirit took over. And I was excited because this was the first time we were going to share this. The stuff we'd been talking about, and we get to the meeting. We're going around making introductions. And there is a place in our town. I live in Fredericksburg, Virginia, which is where George Washington grew up, the father of the nation. So his mom, Mary Washington, lived there her whole life. And he built her a house right there in Old Town Fredericksburg. And there's this place down there. It's called Meditation Rock. And you can go down there and see. It's this big rock in the middle of a park. You go down there, there's a sign in front of the rock. And it says, here Mary Washington prayed for her son and her nation in the dark days of the American Revolution and the birthing of our nation. And it hit us at one point that in our history books, George Washington is the name that's referenced around the birth of this nation. But I would submit that in heaven's history books, Mary Washington's name is referenced in terms of what God has done through America. And so the lady, this was a lady that was gathering women at that rock. She was in this meeting. And we got around the circle and she was giving the introduction. All of a sudden, the lady's dream happens. The spirit of prophecy falls on this lady. Next thing you know, the entire meeting's hijacked. And we spent about probably 2 hours praying for the release of a women's movement and ultimately a million women on the mall in D.C. And so I don't know if you remember in 2017, the final day was Rise Up. There was a whole, which was a women's gathering with Lou. There was a whole narrative around that. But I want to say something that I believe is significantly being highlighted by the Holy Spirit right now. You know, in the Jesus Revolution of the 1970s, there was a revival theologian, a revival historian who had studied every major move of God, had a library that I think it was Richard Roberts, Oral Roberts' son, had a library that we would all be jealous of. And he had asked the Lord, as a student of revival history, where was the identifiable prayer movement for the Jesus movement in the 1970s? Because he was able to identify very clear, visible prayer movements. If you study revival history, as I'm sure most of you have, it's evident in every one. You can actually point to the visible movements of prayer and repentance that precede. And he couldn't identify it effectively, so he asked the Holy Spirit, where was the prayer movement around the Jesus Revolution? And the Lord, Holy Spirit, he said, spoke to him and said, I had to respond to the prayers of 1 million praying moms. Because in the 1970s, as you all know, the countercultural revolution, a spirit of rebellion, hits a generation. You referenced back there the Jesus movement. I want to declare to you, the next Jesus revolution is unfolding right now. I was just in Dallas, Texas with Gen Z for Jesus. We have a 3,000 person tent. There's a whole story on that. But we went and set this tent up for the 3 days before Gen Z for Jesus and had about 5,000 15 to 25 year old kids, most of them more like 18, going hard after God in that 3,000 person tent for 3 days straight, 24/7. By the time we finished, there were 5,000 there. And I want to tell you, I walked into that first set a couple weeks ago, 12 p.m. on a Wednesday. And there was probably 300 18-year-olds in the tent at the time. And the level of spiritual hunger in that tent, I walked in the tent and immediately started weeping. And it snowballed from there. Just one after another. In fact, this young guy who was running the media for the whole thing, he was in our tent months earlier in Virginia. And I watched the Lord encounter these young people. In fact, these two guys, one, he's running the media for Gen Z for Jesus right now. This kid comes in to this worship gathering in Virginia in the tent. And he was, gosh, like, I don't know what the Lord did. There was an open heaven. And this kid's laying on the floor. It's 12 midnight. We're at a fairground with this massive tent. And the fairground is saying, you got to leave. It's midnight. Your contract's done. You've got to shut down. But we can't get these kids out. In fact, a few of them are laying on the ground, non-responsive. Like, we're not talking about little charismatic courtesy falls. We're talking about they're in a full-blown encounter. Like, my friend, one of my co-laborers, was a former fireman. He had the stroke of genius to go check the guy's pulse just to make sure. Because these kids were non-responsive. So we pick them up, throw them in the back of a car, drive them back to the hotel room. They're there all night. Well, the next morning I text the crew and I say, what happened to the kids? Well, they said, well, one of them, and this is the guy that's now running the media movement, he said, about 6 hours later, he came to. And he goes, after that, he couldn't speak because he wept uncontrollably. Because for hours, he was face-to-face with Jesus. I just want to tell you, there's hope for Gen Z. I remember a couple weeks ago, I walked up to that arena, and there's kids lined up all around it. And I just hear them. I'm walking up a block away, and this is what I hear. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm walking up, and I went, there's hope for America. But I think back to that word, the million praying moms. And I would say women stepping into their role, not only as intercessors, but as prophetic voices, is right at the point of the spear, I believe, for what God's about to release. And I so agree with that word about travail and hope and travail and hope. That, I want to tell you, that's precious to the Lord. There was a few years, and I want to say this too. If I can, I didn't plan to say any of this. But about a year ago, this burden hit our little praying community with this really simple thing. There's a prayer that Hannah prayed. We call it the wine of Hannah because Eli in the tabernacle thought she was drunk. Do you guys remember that? Because she was crying out for a son. And it was that prayer that gave birth to the prophetic movement that led to the establishment of the Davidic dynasty. So I'm going to say that again. The prayer of a praying mom, a barren praying mom in travail for a son, not only gave her a son, but gave the entire nation a move of God, culminating in the establishment of the Davidic dynasty that led to the lineage of Jesus that's established his purposes on the earth. Hannah's prayer is about to be given to the prayer movement. You know, I'm on a lot of email lists because I'm, you know, if you've been in the prayer movement, we got these great prophetic email lists. It's really hard to keep up with. And one of the things I've observed, and this is not a negative thing necessarily, but a primary, in fact, maybe the primary focus of most of them is politics. And 1 Timothy 2, I agree. Pray for kings and all who are in authority. Let's do it. But I wonder sometimes if the Lord wants to, there are things that no politician can ever accomplish. And we need a deluge of the Holy Spirit on our sons and daughters. And I wonder if there's a prayer of Hannah. And it's not just for women. It's for men. It's for young. It's for old. I wonder if there's a prayer of Hannah that gets in our spirit. And it's for our sons and our daughters. It's for our children. And it's for Gen Z. And it's for the universities of America and the high schools of America. I wonder if there's anyone here. I wonder if Nashville will be a Hannah for what's about to come. Because Gen Z is a revival generation. I was witnessing it a few weeks ago. I can't tell you how many scars were removed from these kids' bodies while they worshiped Jesus from self-harm. We have testimonies, I don't know the exact number. They're tracking it. I couldn't tell you, but it wasn't one. It was numerous. Self-harm scars all over their body. Jesus took the scars away. There was a moment at the end of that gathering where something began to happen in worship. These kids started hearing angels. People outside are hearing music. They don't know where it's coming from. This storm cloud forms over the arena and stays there for about an hour while all of it's going on. What I'm trying to say is God's hotly pursuing the next generation, and he's looking for friends that will embrace the prayer of Hannah, the wine of Hannah. And I do believe there is travail coming. This wasn't even remotely what I was going to talk about today, but there you go. I do believe that, let me tell you what happened. Right before that gathering where these young people, I just described it, they had these major encounters. Right before, probably 2 weeks before, we're in the prayer room. And I start praying for God to raise up a prophetic voice for the next generation. We just are praying for God to give Gen Z its prophets and apostles. And evangelists and pastors and teachers. And we're crying out. And all of a sudden, you ever had one of these times where all of a sudden, you're just in a regular prayer meeting, and this travail hits the entire room. Bam! I was with my friend Alan Hood from Florida, Kansas City. And we're both hit, boom, same time. The whole room gets hit. I'm over in the corner at this point, and we're crying out for the next generation to receive its prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And for God to purify the prophetic, and for God to give a clear sound for the next generation. And we're crying out, and we leave, and I look, and as this is happening, I see my friend from North Carolina happened to be driving up 95 at the time, Interstate 95, and walks right in the room. He's one of the key prophetic friends in our life, right in the middle of this encounter. And we go upstairs, and we're dialoguing around, what was the Lord just doing? And as we're in the middle of the dialogue, God begins to highlight this burning intercessory prayer for God to raise up voices that will touch the next generation with clarity, with authority, that actually unleash the Jesus revolution that's upon us. Again, I have so much hope for America right now. I don't know about you. But right in the middle of this, we wrap up this moment kind of shell-shocked. What in the world? And I get this email from a friend of mine, and she says, I had a dream last night, and I saw this tent, we have this big tent, going across America, and everywhere that it went, two things happened. Prophetic worship, high praise, and tears. And she goes, it got to the point where you couldn't even preach sometime because the Lord would begin to break into these gatherings. Well, that's what happened about a week later. And that's what had just happened in the prayer room. Later that night, I'm on a Zoom call with my friend from Atlanta, Billy Humphrey. We just had something previously scheduled. And we're talking back and forth. And he says, and I briefly tell them, it's a leader's call. I just tell them, well, this is what happened today. Pretty powerful day. And he goes, wait a minute, what time did that happen? I said, oh, it was right about 10 a.m. He goes, at 10 a.m.? He goes, at that exact moment, I was sitting in my prayer room in Atlanta, reading a dream somebody had given me about the gift of tears coming. And he said, I'm reading the dream, and I went from 0 to 10 in travail in 2 seconds. He said, I was just dull first thing in the morning. I was just casually reading the dream. And all of a sudden, in seconds, I'm in full travail. And we looked at our schedule and realized it was the exact same moment on the exact same focus in two different cities. And we happened to be on a Zoom call that night. So I just want to submit to you that something's coming with a women's movement in this region. And it's more than just intercession. It is intercession, but it is also authority from the place of intercession to move in prophetic unction and leadership. And I think that this women on the front lines, I think that what's unfolding right now is the Lord. And so anyway, amen. Didn't expect to share any of that, but Lord, we pray that you would do it. God, I pray you'd raise, I pray you drop that prayer of Hannah right here in Nashville. Yes. Yeah. Not just on women, but women, men, young and old. Yeah. I pray that there would be a gripping, Lord, a faith. Yeah. If you can overturn Roe v. Wade through the intercession of your people, you can certainly release revival in America. Yeah. And so we take hold of that second half of the life prayer. Now send revival to America. 2022, 2023. Now, Lord. The Lou Engel's prayer, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know, I'm in that prophetic. I accidentally stepped into the little prophetic whirlwind this morning. And I had a really nice teaching, so thank you, man. I was going to be teacher today. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me, I really feel like I need to tell briefly for 5 minutes the testimony. Because, and then I do have a brief teaching and we'll wrap up in a couple hours, so it'll be good. Just kidding. But, you know, we walked this storyline together. It hit me. I wasn't planning to do this either, but this storyline, thinking back to the last 5 years, I love how the Lord unfolds divine storylines. I'm convinced we're in one. I'll be honest with you. Right now, I'm seeing this activity of the Holy Spirit increasing in the last couple months in a way I've not seen in years. I mean, years. I was in Florida a couple weeks ago. We did this service, and somebody mentioned Rodney Howard Brown. I don't know if anybody tracked with the 1990s iteration of Rodney Howard Brown. That happened. The whole service was taken over, like in a way I haven't seen in years. There's something happening right now, but I feel like we're in a storyline together. And when I walked in this morning, I just felt this, almost this sense of, just to take 5 minutes and remind us of a few points in that storyline, some of which many of us have walked together, and then kind of look towards the next phase of what is the Lord doing? You know, and I know our team feels so joined to what God is doing in Nashville. We're going to honor to be here next week, but it's not really even about that for us. Scott's right. It was our joy just to get here for the family gathering. We are committed to getting under the move of God because I'm convinced. I saw it in a dream. Sorry, we are. Maybe it's because James Gall's on the front row. We're just prophetic swirled out here. I saw it in a dream about a year ago. I saw the move of God in Nashville. It was so strong in the dream that people were coming up to me saying, how is this happening? Actually, major leaders were going, what did you do to get this to happen? I just went, it's sovereign. I know that the Lord is setting the stage in this region for something that eyes not seen and ears not heard. And I know every prophetic voice can come through every city and probably say that, but that's not what this is. The Lord is setting the stage for something that's going to touch the nation and the nations. And I think that the journey a number of years ago, even just seeing Jason Ford here, and we borrowed Jason Ford for how long was that, 6 months or something? We hijacked Jason Ford. I mean, we were wrestling the powers of the air, weren't we? I'm not making that up. We were wrestling the powers of the air. I'll never forget one night. I'm just going to tell this one testimony. We were in, where was that? Louisiana. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Louisiana. Second or third state within 24 hours. And the warfare is, I mean, I'm hanging my head like, Jesus, take the wheel. It's so strong. And we're driving in the middle of the night. And I remember thinking, I don't think I can do this. And all I hear is Jason Ford. I look over. He's driving the car. I'm in the back. And Jason's praying at the top of his lungs in the spirit. And I think it saved my life. I'm actually not kidding. The powers of the air were raging. But God raises up Jason's and Marion's and Nashville. Nashville saved our lives. I mean that. Bob Perry, Peggy, Jason, everyone. Scott and the team. Wasn't that a journey? I remember when the Lord spoke to us about tents. Actually, I remember sitting with my board, my team, after one tent event, and I said, that's the last tent event I think we're ever going to do. I remember the meeting, and he who sits in the heavens laughs. But we had a young adult movement going on in Virginia, and I had this dream where we really are going major prophetic here, aren't we? I had this dream where we were doing our gathering in a 3,000-person circus tent. And I knew the name of the guy that owned the tent, but I'd never met the guy. A real guy, real tent, never met him. And the reason I want to share this for just a minute is because it sets the stage for what's about to happen next week and also for some other things that I think the Lord is highlighting. But because God has these storylines, doesn't he? For everyone, not just for prophets. This is for communities, for this community. God's unfolding a storyline for Nashville. And I remember I had this dream, didn't know the guy, never met the guy, knew of him, 3,000-person circus tent. A couple weeks later, we get a phone call from the guy. And he goes, I know you don't know me. I live in North Carolina. But the Lord told me to call you. What are we supposed to do? And I said, I dreamed we used your tent. He goes, I'm in. 3,000-person tent. Brings it up to Virginia for free. Sets up this massive, 3,000 tent's a big tent. In a field. Did it 2 years in a row. Well, the second year, we start having dream after dream after dream after dream that Bob Jones was there. And this is before he passed. You guys familiar with Bob Jones? He's a prophetic man. He's gone to be with the Lord. But we start having dream after dream after dream that Bob Jones is there under the tent. And so I'm sitting with somebody. He goes, well, why don't you call him? I said, well, I don't have his number. He goes, here it is. So we call him, and he goes, this is the Lord. And he comes. So we're under this tent. It's about 2,000 young people, 3 days, worship, prayer. Absolute miracle. You ever been in one of those moments where you're like, this could never have happened, except that the Lord sovereignly orchestrated it. Bob pulls us into this side tent, and he goes, you're going to be part of a tent movement because the youth of America are going to gather. And then he used the phrase, he said, it's going to be porta johns and hot dog stands beyond your wildest imagination. He said, it's a Holy Spirit Woodstock. He said, it's praise, prayer, and prophecy. It's a new Jesus movement. It's for the youth of America. And he said, the Lord says, you're going to be part of that. Well, I didn't know what hit us, except that I'm in the dirt sobbing uncontrollably. I don't know what this man's talking about. Porta Johns and hot dog stands beyond my wildest imagination. Doesn't sound like a life vision. But we're gripped. What's in God's heart is so much bigger than gatherings. There's a DNA that he's awakening right now in the next generation, in all generations. And it is the DNA of the spirit of the tabernacle of David. And it is at the point of the spear for the move of God that's coming. And it's a culture that will be replicated from city to city, region to region, campus to campus. And Jesus is driving the bus. And so we start having dream after dream after dream of a gathering on the East Coast. I mean, it was absurd. And I'm trying to give all the dreams to Lou Engle. Because Lou gathers people, right? I'm just like, Lou, here, you're supposed to do something on the East Coast. Dream after dream after dream. And I remember Lou said, are you sure that's me that's supposed to do that? And so my wife and I decided we'll go on a 3-day fast and just go, Lord, if this is you, just this is secret, just say something to us. Day 3, get an email. Man, I haven't talked to you in 5 years. Hey, I had a dream last night that you were in the middle of a massive gathering, and I walked up to you in the dream, and I said, the Holy Spirit says, don't be afraid to do the new thing I told you to do. And I'm like, oh, man, this could actually get costly here. Well, one thing after another, I mean, it was supernatural confirmation after supernatural confirmation. I remember the day I was with Lou Engle, we're driving in the car. See, the thing is, God works in fathers and sons. It's not pass the baton, it's hold the baton together. Which takes a unique grace, I think. But that's really what the Lord's after, I believe with all my heart. This Jesus movement's going to be different because there's going to be an increased engagement from fathers and mothers. But I'm driving with Lou in the car and I'm trying to give him the whole storyline. More had happened. I mean, I had a prophet call me and say, quote a dream word for word. It was one thing after another, you know, and I'm giving it to Lou. Just take it. And my friend Jason Hershey and I had this phone call when it was like, what if we set up, Bob said tents. What if we set up 50 tents? What if it's every state? What if we gather thousands of singers and musicians around the clock at the center of the nation for days on end? What if we do something that had never been done before? What if we put the ark at the middle of the nation? I remember the conversation. I'm trying to give it all to Lou, and Lou turns to me in this car. We're in Atlanta, and he says, it's your storyline. You need to do it. He goes, if you go to D.C., we'll go with you. And suddenly, the impetus is on us. You ever had the Lord back you in a corner, stare you in the eyes, and say, you. And you're saying, and I was saying, you picked the wrong guy. I've got no money. I don't have a national platform. You picked the wrong guy. And the Lord goes, if I tell you to do it. In fact, Heidi Baker publicly rebuked me. That was a good day, you know. Sweet Mama Bear, prophetic Heidi Baker. In front of 2,000 people. David Bradshaw, if the Lord tells you to go to the National Mall, you go to the National Mall. So Lou is saying, if you go, I'll go with you. And I remember I said, Lou, then what's my next step? He said, you got to talk to my friend Chris. And I said, well, can you set the meeting up with Chris? He said, yeah. So I dropped Lou off at a conference right then. His last words to me are next steps to talk to Chris Berglund. Drop Lou off at the conference. Turn around, drive to the airport in Atlanta. I'm standing in line for my flight. And I look up and the guy in front of me in line is Chris. And Chris lived in Kansas City. We're in Atlanta flying to Virginia, and he's the guy in front of me in line. And I went, this is not happening. I didn't tell him anything. You ever do that with prophets, prophetic people? You just don't tell them. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just flying home. He goes, I go, oh, Lou's in town. He goes, oh, Lou's in town. Gets on the plane, sits next to me, turns to me halfway through the flight. The Lord says it's 2017. You need to do the gathering. I'm like, okay. So we pull the permits. Turns out it's accidentally the Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, imagine that. We didn't even plan it. It was Gather America in tents at the nation's capital during Feast of Tabernacles. Didn't plan it. That's our own fault. We weren't insightful enough. But it also was a divine narrative. And so fast forward, Scott, everybody was a part of this. Jason, the reason I'm retelling this, I didn't plan on telling this, but sometimes you got to retell the stories so that we can energize our faith that we're not making all this up. Yeah. That there's something bigger unfolding right now. And all we have to do is keep saying yes every day. And then he does all the heavy lifting. And so we get there. And I remember the night before this gathering, we're $1.4 million in the red. Because it's expensive to gather on the National Mall, I found out. And I'm going, I don't even know. You remember, Jason? We're going. And I'm like, I've pulled every lever I know how to pull. How many of you have ever been somewhere you've pulled every lever you know how to pull and you're going, this is a but God moment. This is a Red Sea. And if this Red Sea doesn't part, I'm dead. And it's the night before and I'm in this hotel room and Heidi Baker shows up. I get a text and I say, hey, can you come to room? Were you in the room then? I said, hey, can you come to room, whatever it was. So she and Will Hart come in and Jason and my wife, and she walks in the room. And she's on a business call, hangs up the phone, opens the door, and immediately the Holy Spirit falls on her. And she's pointing at, remember this? She's pointing at me across the room. And she goes, God uses who he chooses. Ah! She's laughing. Uncontrollably laughing. And she keeps going, God uses who he chooses. And I'm crying. And she goes, the Spirit says, everything will be paid for and there'll be leftover. So we got up off the floor, did the 3 days. Remember, Mark, I know your whole crew was there. It's a family thing. Is it okay if we do a little family reminiscing here? Your crew, I mean, what happened? I mean, scars were removed. 1,700 worship teams showed up. What? That's not credit to our ingenuity, I promise you. Yeah, Nashville, Bob and Peggy and the crew, I heard the Wyoming tent was short-staffed. Nashville was like, we're going over to Wyoming. We're carrying the flame. And but you know what happened is the Lord did that. I had a divine appointment with someone about 2 months before the mall, a really well-known, kind of famous guy. I'm in Washington, D.C. My wife says, you need to stay in Washington, D.C. today. I live near the city, but she goes, you need to stay here tonight. Takes the kids home, leaves me. And I'm wandering around Washington, D.C. alone, praying. And this guy calls me and he goes, get on the phone, tell this guy the story in 15 minutes about what's about to happen. So I tell him, blah, 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 blah. He goes, where are you? I said, I'm in D.C. He goes, me too. I said, I'm on the National Mall. He goes, oh, I am too. I'm like a block away. He goes, come over here right now. I walk over, meet this guy. I'm wearing like t-shirts, you know, I'm not ready for this kind of meeting. Boom, he goes. So I meet this guy. It's this weird divine appointment. Go to bed that night in D.C., have a dream where I'm in Lou Engel's house. And I see his son, and his son had swallowed a nail. And suddenly it's me with a nail in my stomach. And I wake up from this dream. And I'm with Lou the next morning, and I say, he does the classic, did anyone have dreams last night? And I said, yeah, I had one that was not from the Lord. He said, tell it anyway. Remember, were you there for that too? Oh, yeah, me and you were casting it out, man. Binding it, casting it out.
swallowed a nail. The demons were attacking me in the night. And Lou goes, no. He goes, it's the cross I've had to carry. And I realized God was transitioning me from intercessory prayer to intercessory life. Still doing intercessory prayer, but it had become our life is the laid down offering. It's Galatians 2:20. So fast forward, Heidi gives us the word. We get to the other side. We're still $1 million in the red. Can you believe that? The day after. And I don't know what to do. Well, I get a phone call from that guy that I had the divine appointment with. My wife heard the Lord, said, stay in D.C. He calls me and he says, hey, are you in the red for that? How in the red are you? I said, I'm $1 million. He goes, I'll wire it over tomorrow. And then he says, oh, and by the way, I'm going to send you some more so you have leftover. Do you remember what Heidi said? Yeah. We don't have it left anymore, but just as a footnote. But nonetheless, we are in a divine narrative that God is writing for this region. Yeah. Come on. And he's looking for those that will say yes. He's looking for those that will not rely upon their own wisdom. I really mean that. What's coming is going to be birthed, not started. Like, we got to get to the boardrooms and have excellent administration, but it also needs to be birthed in the place of obedience and intimacy. And if we will just give ourselves to that, I believe what's coming, that eye is not seen and ear is not heard. And I believe that what God is orchestrating right now is regional and corporate, geographic and corporate resting places. The resting place of Jesus' presence is geographic and corporate. There are cities where he wants to dwell, and this is one of them. And I think he's looking for people that will go, what does that look like? And give him the unreserved yes in the process. You know, what happened out there on that National Mall, since then it's been about 800 pushing closer to 900 tent gatherings in cities and campuses. Right now, there's 20 of them in the next month on campuses. It's in cities. It's 24-hour worship in public places in unity. But I believe that there is a culture. How many of you know God's ways are not our ways? I mean, who would dream this up? Let's just be honest right now. In 1 Corinthians 1, he says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. God has a controversy with the wisdom of the wise, the spirit of the age. Who would set up his government where singers and musicians are right at the center of the throne room? Who comes up with this kind of stuff? I mean, honestly, if the United States government operated on that paradigm, we would think they lost their mind. If we haven't already, we would think they've lost their mind. Right? If Congress came with guitars and djembes, they would say, well, it's done now. Now they're singing. But in God's cabinet, the 24 elders, they've got harps. They've got bowls. What I'm saying is that to establish the resting place in cities requires an understanding of the spirit of the tabernacle of David. David, King David, in a flash of genius, 3,000 years ago, in a flash of genius, hires 4,000 musicians and 288 singers. He actually pays 4,000 musicians. Put the ark in the tent, worship 24/7, 33 years. And during that time, no enemy of Israel could access them, right? In Acts 15:16, when James at the Council of Jerusalem is establishing that Gentiles don't have to become Jews to be participants in the gospel, right in the middle of it, he quotes Amos 9:11, and he says, afterward, I will restore David's tabernacle, which has fallen down, so that, anybody ever pay attention to the so that? So that the rest of mankind can seek the Lord. This is missions movement stuff. This isn't so we have lit prayer meetings. This is the missional strategy coming straight from heaven for cities and regions. It's people that will come together, not around celebrity personalities, not around our own agendas, but around the actual presence of God as the primary focus. And they'll come together in the spirit of John 17:21. And they'll go into public places. I believe that upper room of Acts chapter 2 was a prototype, not just a historical event. It's a prototype, the birthday of the church, some call it. When God establishes something, you got to pay attention to the culture in which the thing is established. And that upper room culture, that is meant to be replicated and multiplied in cities across the earth as a blueprint straight from the throne room to see dwelling place of Jesus' presence and transforming power in cities. And the bullseye is on Nashville right now. If we will come together, lay down our agendas, and seek his face. And so that spirit of the tabernacle of David is in the DNA that God is awakening right now. It is musical. It is ministry to the Lord's presence. It's creative. It is an all-out assault on humanism. Humanism has invaded our strategic planning in the church. My own. I mean, I'm not just... Good planning is noble, right? Excellent administration. As a side note, the Tabernacle of David had incredible administrative excellence. It's not, don't plan anything, and then the Lord shows up. That doesn't work. But the principle is that our humanistic methodology, which is leaning upon our natural resources, it's putting trust and confidence for the transformative process within a region through our own abilities, as if we can create enough websites to transform a city. As if we can just get just good enough at social media to see Nashville turned upside down. Believe me, Gen Z for Jesus is blowing it out of the park on social media. We need to get 10 times more excellent on media. This is not a slight on that. It's that the transformative process of God has that Tabernacle of David blueprint. And yay, even more than that, it's heaven's blueprint. It's not David's blueprint. It's Jesus' blueprint. It's what's going on in the throne room right now. And he wants to replicate it, and he's going to replicate it for the willing people here in this region. I want to tell you, something's coming to Music City. A new song is coming. But I think, and I'll just close with this because I burned my whole time up telling stories. But Isaiah chapter 42. Guys, I feel like this was discombobulated today. I had a really nice little message prepared with. And I know a lot of you have heard those stories. I just felt, and I wasn't going to tell them, but I felt like, you know what? Let's just remind ourselves of the story here a little bit. And go, wait a second, something bigger is going on. And what if we said yes again together? To Music City, USA. And whoa, what if the spirit of the Tabernacle of David invades this region in a way that maybe we've never seen before? And I remember when Bob Jones gave us that word, he said, Holy Spirit Woodstock. What a weird phrase. I say that to Gen Z kids and they're like, Woodstock? What's in Coachella. Oh, Coachella, okay. Or what's around here? Bonnaroo. But I remember it's helpful to have a word from Bob Jones, but it's more helpful to see it in the scriptures. And What I realized is that 2,700 years ago, Isaiah prophesied about justice coming to the earth in chapter 42. Jesus is justice. He goes, I'm going to anoint that man. I delight in him. The delight of the Father with Jesus is the strategy to bring justice to the earth. And then he says in verse 10, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. His praise from the end of the earth. A new song. I think this is one of the most incredible prophecies in the entire Bible. I always said it was my favorite. And then one time I was in a conference with Mike Bickle and he said, it's my favorite verse. And I went, I knew it. I knew I wasn't crazy. Favorite prophetic verse. Sing to the Lord a new song, you who go down to the sea, all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. Let the desert and its cities lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar inhabits, let the habitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the top of mountains. As a side note, that's the Middle East. That's the Muslim world. Let them sing for joy from the top of mountains. When is this going to happen? But it's not just there. He said from the ends of the earth. In other words, Isaiah looks out 2,700 years ago over human history and he goes, something's going to hit the earth. A song's going to hit the earth. Can you see the prophecy here? It's not just a neat word from a prophetic man. It's not just a crazy story on the National Mall. It's not just a culture we're trying to develop. It is a blueprint straight from the throne room, alongside of other facets we're called to do, seven mountains, engagement, all of that. But I want to tell you, right in the middle of it, God goes, I'm going to do the spirit of David's tabernacle, and this generation is about to touch it. I tell you, I witnessed it 3 weeks ago. You couldn't get them out of the tent. And Isaiah says, he goes, it's going to cover the whole earth. Can you see it in the text? I don't want just a Bob Jones story who I honor. I want something more. I want to see it in the text and realize we're walking out a divine blueprint. It's going on in Revelation 4 throne room. It went on in David's tabernacle. It was fulfilled throughout the history of Israel. It was fulfilled in the book of Acts, in the early church, where they lived in Antioch, in Jerusalem, and onward into this culture of engaging the Lord day and night. It went on and on and on. But Isaiah said it clearly 2,700 years ago. The whole world is going to sing. What if God confronts humanism and Islam and distractions and rebellion through the joy of the Lord? What if the joy of the Lord confronts everything? You can't argue with a joyful person. Because at the core of Isaiah 42, when God is unfolding justice, he goes, this is my servant, Jesus. I delight in him. I'll put my spirit on him. And he will bring justice to the nations. And then a few verses later, a new song hits the earth. It's the delight of the Father in Jesus and our being caught up into that conversation that actually is administrating. It's the context where justice becomes administrated in the earth. Isn't that amazing? It's the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It's John 17. He goes, Father, I pray, I've declared to them your name, I will continue to declare it, that the love with which you loved me would be in them and that I would be in them. That's the last words of Jesus on record to the Father about us before the cross. He goes, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to take weak people in Nashville and I'm going to cause them to love Jesus, not just a little bit, but love him like the Father loves him. And then that's the environment where the explosion of the Great Commission is going to touch the earth. And that's why the spirit of the tabernacle of David is necessary. Because God is more a lover than he is a worker. It's upside down and backwards, I'm telling you right now. Get ready. It's going to get uncomfortable. So Isaiah prophesies, and I love this text. That my intention was just to talk on Isaiah 42, but there we go. That's my little nugget. But at the end of the text, many of you know the verse, the Lord says in verse 14, for a long time I've held my peace. I've kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. How many of you know when the Lord is crying out like a woman in labor and gasping and panting, the world is going to know something's happening? You don't miss that. But God says, for a long time I've held my peace. I wonder when the Spirit and the bride are saying, come, Revelation 22. If there is this sound of lovesickness that hits the earth that invokes that response. He put it in the same passage. The song covers the earth, and then the Lord goes, now I will cry out. I will shake everything that can be shaken, to only that which is unshakable remains. But it's not anger fueling it. It's love. You know, the Bible says when Jesus shows up, there's going to be with a shout. I wonder what he's going to shout. Do you ever think about that? What's Jesus going to shout? Yes, it's going to be rebuke of his enemies, but I'm convinced if Revelation 22 is true, that the Spirit and the bride are going to be saying, come globally. The Holy Spirit and the church in unity, and what's our prayer? Come, we can't live without you. It's lovesickness covering the earth. And I want to tell you, that's going to be musical, creative, and presence of God-centric. And it's going to cut, the Spirit and the bride are going to say, come. I wonder if that shout from Jesus, when he comes in the flesh, he's going to come in revival first. But then he's going to come in the second coming. When he comes, I wonder if it's the shout of love. A billion people all over the earth, day and night, unrelenting, singing the new song. We can't live without you. Come to our city. Come to our children. Come to my secret place. I can't live without you. We love you. We love you. And that we love you is going to fill the entire earth. And when that we love you, Jesus, fills the entire earth, the song of the Lamb, the Father's going to go, now. And then the Lord's going to descend with a shout. And that shout is going to be the shout of love. I guarantee you, it is the shout of love. And it destroys his enemies. But it's mostly about the bride. And I want us to get our eyes on this because my time's up. I want us to get our eyes on, yeah, the crazy stories inspire faith. But what if we tap into the narrative and we start to understand Jesus has a blueprint? He gets to come up with the blueprint, not us. I'm a musician. I love music. I don't think I even would have come up with that blueprint. But he did. And it's not just for musicians. It's prayer. It's gospel proclamation. It's the whole package. But I want to tell you in the middle of it, there is a sound that's going to cover the earth. And I think whenever I see one of these festivals, whether it's Bonnaroo or Coachella or Burning Man or whatever, EDM festivals in Europe where they have pre-COVID hundreds of thousands at a time. And now it's happening again. Hundreds of thousands of 20-year-olds, psychedelic drugs, music. It's happened. Woodstock was amazing with the whatever it was, 400,000. Now that's replicated all over the world. The festival, there's a whole documentary on this. The festival culture is exploding. I've been telling our crew, we are going to lean in for a festival of glory. Who would have put that in the action plan for the culmination of all things? God. A global festival of glory is coming in public places all over the nations of the earth with creative sounds and worship and presence and prayers and the proclamation of the gospel. It's coming. It's a freight train. You can't stop it. I was in that tent a couple weeks ago. There's this amazing, you should check them out, Black Voices from Circuit Riders. I didn't even know what was happening. It was a freight train of worship. Unstoppable. Telling you, that's not sound, that's government. I'm going to say that again. That's not just sound, that's government. And we got to have a paradigm. It's not just sound, it's the government of heaven coming to earth. And if we'll engage it and refuse to relent, and then if we will say yes, 100-fold obedience, 100% obedience, God. We'll see the freight train of the move of God. So, Lord, we stand here today on that crystal sea before you, and we say, in Nashville, Lord, as it is in heaven. In Nashville, as it is in heaven, Lord. You are unfolding a storyline, and we want to put our face on the ground and say, we're in. We don't have to do the heavy lifting. You do all the heavy lifting. You're just looking for the yes. And so we say yes. We say, whether it's our business, our finances, whatever, we say yes, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So real quick, for the gathering next week, we do need you to register. It's free registration, but we're doing it at the Foundry. Thank you, Scott and team.
Friday night,
all day Saturday, Friday, 7 p.m. Again, Todd and everybody will be there that night, and then we'll... But we do need you to register because it is limited space, so the registrations are starting to pour in, and so probably would be good to register. You can get on Awaken the Dawn. Do we get you a slide? I don't know if we did. Oh, great. You can get on Awaken the Dawn, just register so that we make sure that... I don't think we're going to have to cut it off, but I would just want to make sure you get a spot. So, thank you. Love you guys.
Why don't you stay up and we'll get the brothers come up and pray again, a prayer of multiplication. You know, I want to say as they're coming up right now that we are in a very pivotal moment today because here we are at the end of Yom Kippur this evening, day of repentance, and hear this message, the blueprint of heaven. And you may not be the intercessor that some of these are today that have been represented, but in honesty, all you have to do is know two prayers. God, what are you doing? And what do you want me to do? And all you say is yes. And I told David, I said, David, I am so delighted to still be alive. I'm going to see you with my own eyes. The second Jesus movement. And this time, we have fathers. That's what we're doing. And mothers. It was. If you guys want to come too. Lord, we bless David. We asked for a multiplication. That's the word I heard. Multiplication. That this man of God would be chosen to be one of the points of the spear. Unknowns to what he probably knew 10, 15 years ago, all of a sudden his life is radically upside down. And we bless that and we multiply it. And as fathers and mothers and leaders in this city, we say yes to the move of God. Thank you for using this man in Awakening the Dawn, but so many others that he now is in relationship with. There is community among and unity of the Spirit like never before. And so we just bless this, God. We say thank you that your master plan is unfolding. The blueprint of heaven is unfolding. And in you reminding us it will not look the way we think it's going to look. Every time you go to the very edge of our understanding and do it differently and do it with a different touch or flavor. And so we need to be able to say yes to what we don't understand because you're going to work a work in spite. And we're not going to be those people that say, but we've never done it this way before. That's a false narrative that we throw to the curb in the name of Jesus. That's not God-centered. We will do it your way this time. In Jesus' name.
Now, David, I kept hearing Psalm 13, and until you got up and started talking, I didn't understand why I heard that. But Psalm 13 is, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? And I think you already carry that prayer of lament. It's already on you, whether you realize it or not. And during the worship, Scott, when y'all started singing Jesus is King, I immediately heard the Lord say, are you willing to surrender your life in a more deeper way for Nashville than you've ever surrendered before? So I think that's for all of us today. that we will have to go to a deeper place. And then there's already a tense anointing in Nashville. In 1885, a man named Sam Jones came to Nashville, and he went to the clergy and asked for a tent. I think it was for 5,000, 6,000. And they just laughed at him. They thought he was arrogant, and they were just arguing among themselves. And finally, I think it was a retired Confederate general in Belmead said he would pay for the tent. Sam Jones preached four times a day for, I think it was 6 days a week for 4 weeks. And 10,000 people were saved in Nashville. Was, I think, 25% of the population. And everybody goes to the Ryman to pray for the anointing. But I wanted to go where they had the tent. I wanted to go where they had the tent. I wanted to sit on the ground, stand on that ground where 10,000 people were saved in 4 weeks. And I'll tell you where the corner is. If you haven't been there, you need to go. You need to go. It's 8th and Broadway. It's the corner of the federal courthouse. Across from the customs house. It's the south side of Broadway. And there's grass. There's a little strip of grass there. My friend Jimmy Lou went with me. And there was still glory on that land. There was still glory there. So I just released that tent revival anointing on you today in Jesus' name. And that's the multiplication, Jerry. Multiplication. 1885. 25% of the population. So, Lord, we ask for more. We ask for 25% of the million something that live here, and more, and more, and more, and more, in Jesus' name. And also, Dabney Mann said to us about a year and a half ago that the reason the Lord would come here first is because we have blessed Israel. So we're not doing anything any better than anybody else. I think we can all testify to that. So, James, you carry more for Israel than anybody I know. And I just wonder if you might have a key to give him.
I do, and I don't want to do it. So, David, you got to hold this. I love this. And it's just on a string. Hence, one of my most prized possessions. And today's the Day of Atonement. And I give this as a gift to you today. But I've actually had dreams of jewelry lines and things of this nature, but it's the cross in the middle of the star, David. And I just give this... Okay, as a father in the faith to you to carry, because it is two covenants are one in Christ, and it is two generations, and yes, three and even four that are brought together, and we declare that yes, there is a call, an anointing upon this city to be a city of refuge for the Jewish people and to carry the heart of David, the son of David, for Israel now and in the future. So I give this to you, and I ask that God will burn this into your heart and into your team, that you will carry the tabernacle of David for the Jewish people, and I'm going to say all the descendants of Abraham. And what all that means in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you. Hold it fast. thanks to this mother of Israel taking you back to the future, you're an ambassador. And because you were bold enough to pitch tents in Washington, D.C., to pray and prophesy real truth, to break up and displace evil plans and strategies for a pause, there's a continuation coming. Even as those that would look and view the church, the general church now, as a subculture, and as that we lived in a time of the Jesus movement, which was a counterculture, you're representing and ambassadoring the above culture. Where Amos 9:11, one of the strongest earthly encounters I had with the Lord was all about Amos 9:11 21 years ago. And it was on the Hebrew day of Pentecost. And in that, you see plowman overtaking the reaper. The plowman's overtaking the reaper. We've had harvest from Kansas City, Toronto, Pensacola. That's 28 years ago, some of that. And there's been a plowing, and it's building. And also in Amos 9, ascending revelation. What you're experiencing is ascending revelation. You get one revelation here, and it only bumps it up here to a much deeper, more powerful and meaningful, but serious and sober consequences of that revelation. Ascending revelation, if you read it in Amos 9, you've got it memorized probably. It releases strategy. It says strata on the earth. So the strata is going to come from the presence of the Lord. Moses built according to a pattern. And I just think this tent thing is out of control. Wonderful. Out of control. Out of the box. Who would have thought? Low tech, high tech. I mean, this could be. People are going to come. And I want to just, in honor of a dear brother, went too soon to the Lord, James Ryle. The sons of thunder are going to come out of those tents. And they're going to make war in the cities. A holy war. A war of love. A baptism of love. Sheep in wolves' clothing. And they are going to burn up the cities. And you know, there's a lot of notable men of God only seeing judgment. God would be right to judge anybody anytime he want to, but mercy is going to triumph over judgment if it's done in love. Bless you.
Were you at Brownsville February of maybe 96? Is that possible?
Very possible, yeah. Yes, very possible. Steve Hill was from our church in Texas.
Because that night, I remember you spoke. I was there. I was 15. And I was barely following the Lord. I got dragged there with our youth group. They waited 12 hours in line for me. Somebody knew Michael Brown, so they got us in. But I was just, didn't know what's up. But I got prayer that night. I did a courtesy fall for somebody. I was mad about it. I was like, why did I do that? But I'm laying there on the ground, not because the Lord put me there. I'm just there, you know. And I remember that night, because I remember you were there, I was pounding my fist on the carpet, and I said, God, if you don't touch me, I'm going to die. And I got up off the carpet, whatever that was now, you said it, 28 years ago, 15-year-old kid, I'm walking out of the church, some guy walks up to me and says, hey, can I pray for you? I said, yeah, why not? He lays his hands on me, and I was thrown back. Literally hit the wall. And for about a month, I was unable to walk. Oh. And that was the genesis of all this. I mean, that was when, but it just hit me. It was you that was there that night. I just think the way the Lord ties these things together.
Need repentance. We love the glory, and we know that there are many of us here that are Nehemiahs. We identify, you know, he didn't need personally, but he identified with it. And so you're going to help people tolerate, not to love, to have repentance.
Wow, what a day of atonement.
this is, to be together like this. And I just want to share one thing about the gathering coming. I've had the privilege of walking with David on a couple of these things. So I was helping serve, land a place. You might say, well, where's the tent? You know, we're landing in the old foundry, which traditionally has been like a manger for just birth and stuff. And I believe really that's what's happening, because we tried a couple locations and it felt supernaturally shut down for this time. But we knew last year, we talked and said, it's the Feast of Tabernacles, we're to gather. So we'll be right in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. Woo! And if you guys would come, and when Marion started saying about, I want to go where the tent was, on Friday night, speaking of Gen Z, there's been about, I don't know, a company of 50 to 70 that for the last 3 years have been hitting Broadway continuously with evangelism, the fireplace crew. And when she said, hey, let's go to Broadway and pray, what if we made that Friday night not only a worship invasion, we go down there together, but the fathers and mothers come and birth a second Jesus movement, stand at that tent on the corner of 8th and Broadway, and just a couple blocks down is where the fireplace stands, and they have a worship mob, and we have tractors and trucks and everything blitzing the whole area. And I just believe that night could just be a birthing, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles, that we come together, and then we got the 12 hours. And I just want to challenge the fathers and the mothers that are mostly here. Would you be that second push for the second Jesus movement? Can we stand together when they come back in less than 2 weeks, right? The 14th and the 15th. Yeah, next week. Not this weekend. The next weekend. This is on. And let's birth something. Let's push until something happens, right? Pray until something happens for our city and for this nation. So I just want to put that out there. But when you said, I want to pray where the tent is, what if we, the mothers and the fathers and the young kids and everyone, we just blitz Broadway? It's crazy down there. You'll love it. It's going to be amazing. So just want to put that out there.
And I want to say about this too. We do believe the tent's to come to Nashville in the timing of the Lord. And I think it's 2023, and there's a lot happening in the storyline of the region, and I was even texting back and forth with Andy Bird and others on the way here, actually. Just bah, 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 bah. There's a lot swirling around, but I just want to say, I do believe that's coming, but I think this moment, this is a birthing time, and I think we just need to hit, we need to strike the ground, and I want to say, too, with Todd White coming, Jesus the evangelist is standing up in the middle of the Tabernacle of David. I was in Florida a couple weeks ago, and I was having lunch with Daniel Kalenda. You guys know from Christ for All Nations, Reinhard Bonnke. We're sitting there having dinner, and we're talking about this convergence of evangelism and day and night worship. And we're just in the middle, and right in the middle of the conversation, Todd White calls me. We're sitting there talking about it, and he calls right then. And he's called me like three times within 3-4 years. I mean, it's not a normal thing. And right then he called to talk about that exact thing. And so the fact that he's coming, I just want you to know, this isn't like, oh, you know, let's get a known voice in or whatever. This is a convergence of the spirit of the Tabernacle of David with the evangelist. What happens in a region when we're worshiping and praying day and night and proclaiming the gospel with signs and wonders in public places? That convergence is a game changer. So I just wanted to add that about the week.
Wow. Guys, we just received an amazing deposit this morning. I mean, and I just love, David, just your heart, just the way that you tell and you remind us of the stories that have happened. I remember, I've got a friend, and a lot of people know around this city who's gone back to Pennsylvania, Steve Morey. I remember Steve, he used to make this statement, sons don't have to achieve, they just have to receive. And it used to drive me nuts, but it's absolutely true. I used to think, where in the world is that even in real life? But it absolutely is, because that is the way of the kingdom. And so, David, not only do you come here and remind us of these stories, but the joy that you carry, it begins to reawaken the hearts here. It begins to reignite hearts and passion. And, you know, this is kind of sounds a little ridiculous, but if you've ever had guacamole and you put it in your refrigerator When you put it in your refrigerator the next day, it just looks nasty. And so, but if you scrape off the top, it's good underneath. So sometimes our hearts get oxidized because of doing ministry so often, and we do, and we even go through the motions. Sometimes we need somebody from the outside to come along and scrape off our hearts and remind us once again that God has called something powerful to this region and this city. And when we get to come together in one heart, one mind, and one voice, God is going to absolutely awaken something.
So good.
And so I just want to pray into that. Go ahead and give thanks to God for all the glorious things He has done. Go ahead and worship Him. Tell everyone about His wonders. Let's sing His praises. Sing and put all His miracles to music. Shine and make your joyful boast in Him, you lovers of God. Let's be happy and keep rejoicing no matter what. Seek more of His strength. Seek more of Him. Let's always be seeking the light of His face. Don't you ever forget His miracles and marvels. Hold to your heart every judgment He has decreed. Father God, we honor David Bradshaw. Lord, we thank You for his heart, that he's not just somebody who comes in from the outside, but he truly is family. Lord, we thank You for knitting he and his family's hearts together with ours. Lord, we pray in advance for what it is that You are going to do next weekend and the awakening that is going to come onto the streets of Nashville. God, we thank You how You are going to use that movement to further bring this city together as one. And Father, thank You that that is only the beginning of what You plan on doing in this next season for Your glory, in Jesus' name.
And they all said amen.